cooperation, collaboration. The urgency of the blog on Techno Radical will tell you how many minutes ago the most recent blog on that issue has been. Those elements are exciting. They speak to an acceleration, but an expansion of participation. The power of the blog today. And the scientists, and again, with some of the students I'm working with, they're going to be looking, which maybe, looking at some of the blogs in anthropology. The power of the blog in terms of Dan Rather's career, the power of the blog in terms of its ability to mobilize a kind of crowdsourcing of information, hasn't yet fully hit the sciences and research and scholarship. And we need to begin to think about how that is going to happen. So yes, I would be, as old as I am, in a sense, not to address that, and to only focus on the journal. But I would be very appreciative and remain appreciative for people to continue to raise those questions. The wiki and the blog in terms of OJS is part of, as it were, part of the integration. But I'm still working with a generation of scholars that say I can't leave the journal yet. I have to see this part through, and then I have to pass the mantle, as it were. Not just to you, but that's a good starting point. Thank you for the question. Yes?
I'm Nena from India. I'd like to thank John, first of all, for this live and petty keynote address. Normally what happens is the keynote address, we start dozing off. But I think your keynote address cut through that jet lag of ours, and you're wide awake now. And
by the jet lag, I don't know how to explain this to you, it's known as jet lag.
Yeah, I know, jet lag, that's what I'm saying.
But you're wide awake. But there were a few, I won't make any point
in it.
Go ahead.
That person, she asked that question 10 years now, from 10 years from now. But don't you think in these last 10 years, we have this open access has, and knowledge PKP has led to a well-informed knowledge society?
The state of the knowledge society is an interesting one. There's notion of a knowledge-based economy and an information age of information. And part of the motivation of this project has always been that the university has not been at the forefront of that. And if you take its current iterations, like evidence-based policy, which is a popular concept in India, but evidence-based policy and a whole range in education, we often talk about this, scientifically-based research and education, which is another concept that's very popular. And my sense is that this is part of a rising expectation, that we expect these things to happen too quickly. That we thought in 2001, when the Budapest Statement was released, we thought it would be only a matter of time before the light would be seen, and that open access, because it is such a clear case. But it seems reasonable to wait a number of years, or to expect a number of years to pass. And that the knowledge society will lead to an increased expectation. So my whole comments to Bobby about rising public expectations is the extension of that. And that the university has been exempt, even as it has been involved in social communities like the Woodward Building down the road, but it's building down that road and down up this road. Did you notice the business school right here in the financial capital of Vancouver has taken root? And so this idea that the knowledge economy, as it were, has led in this, and that the university is catching up, is disturbing to me. And the idea that we have been, as it were, part of that, a tower, part of a center, but not even a center in periphery, more like a fortress or a tower, is a concern. And so I see our responsibility in working in the university community, as most of us do, but not all of us, but most of us do, and in working in public libraries, even more so in some ways, and I'm hoping that public libraries will be part of the rising lead, as it were, the rising public expectation. Because in some ways, just to finish on this theme, the public library has been the model for the public knowledge project. And the public library preceded the public school in the 19th century. At first, 1830s and 40s and through to the 1860s, the public library movement swept the English-speaking world. And then if you look at the history of the 1870s, 80s, and 90s, it was the public schools. And the library is at the core of that. So, the knowledge society is here. And the last 10 years, the last 20 years, when did Drucker first talk about knowledge workers and knowledge society? 1965. So we're 40 years after. That's not a great name for a band, though. 4 years of knowledge society, the university is beginning to see its role and responsibilities. And I want to suggest it's not too late because I'm historically lenient, but that it is certainly time. And I'm very encouraged to have this group, this global group, assembled here as part of, as it were, the vanguard of that.
I was just wondering, we are so far talking about researchers and academics creating the knowledge. And what about the traditional knowledge? What responsibility do we have as librarians to kind of bring their knowledge forward and, you know, digitize it or make it more accessible? So far, they're not, they have not, only I think Dr. Greg Young, who is a First Nations person, has done a PhD at UBC, indicating that only 5% of their knowledge is actually rewarded. You know, the rewards go back to their communities. So what responsibility do we have as librarians who value access for everybody to actually bring them forward and have their knowledge be shared?
It's a very good point in terms of the spirit of the talk around post-colonialism and the aftermath of imperialism. Because clearly I've been talking about university knowledge. I've been talking about traditional university knowledge. And I'm very sensitive, and perhaps not in my talk, but I'm very sensitive to that, the idea that in fact there is an indigenous, many indigenous bodies of knowledge that aren't traditionally included in terms of that university concept. And I think that your question in terms of framing it, and framing it as an aspect of the librarian's responsibility, I think is very encouraging. The idea that we want to begin to understand the protocols of working with that knowledge, to understand, as it were, the interests of those communities that hold that knowledge in terms of accessibility, because it's not as straightforward, I feel, as the university in some ways, and again, that may be for me as an outsider. That we need to see the possibility of the university playing, again, a leadership role. And one of the points of pride at the University of British Columbia has been very much its role in work with indigenous knowledge. And so the possibility of the university is working, and again, the tradition in the university has been very much to study Aboriginal communities, to work with indigenous peoples as a subject of research, as a point of investigation, as a kind of curiosity, anthropological or otherwise. And the idea that you're suggesting, that in fact we need to see whether what role we can play, how we can begin to understand the protocols of access and interests of those communities, would represent a major shift. And I think it's an important point to put on the floor. Thank you. Fritz, I see you.
Lynn put me up to this.
I'm happy to sit down, please.
Well, thank you very, very much for this. And I know you've enlightened all of us. And you spoke earlier of the power of the spoken word, and we certainly saw the power of it this evening. When Lynn sent me an email early on and asked if Athabasca University would be interested in sponsoring some of the events here, I couldn't think of a more appropriate event for Athabasca University, and I will take an advertising moment to actually sponsor the following reception. And do keep asking John questions, because I know there are endless numbers of questions. Is there time, Lynn? One more, a short one.
I can't promise that. John, I just wanted to hear your comment for a second, because there hasn't been a question on this. It seems to me that just your opinion on the irony as we think about the public access of the last decade, at the same time that we've had increasing corporatization and the support of neoliberal types of agendas within the popular media. How do these two conflicting dynamics collide?
Just very briefly with the notion of the line in the novel.
If I could just say that it goes back to Nina's point about the knowledge society. So what we've seen in the last decade, and Joe, it's a very good point to raise, what we've seen is a kind of contest around knowledge in terms of the privatization and commodification of that knowledge. And the universities, we've experienced this on a kind of lagged basis, that the Drucker writes about knowledge workers in '65. And